Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Keeping your head above water.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going to try wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro.
Can we get the date?
New York.
Ooh. My co-host, Dave Rothenberg.
Question. For God's sakes, enough with jobs.
Our amazing producers. We got the little Don.
Yeah, you don't know what I know.
You're probably right. That's our Jay Santillo. How about our warrior, Raymond Santiago?
You're the stinky droid guy.
And of course, as always, we have the company with us. Thank you for getting up with us this Thursday morning. We are DNR. The R&R boys.
Mr. Rothenberg.
Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, as always, 1-800-919-3776.
Karen, why'd you do that, Karen? That was all we had, Karen.
We have an awesome show planned for you today.
We'll see naked ladies.
Relax, you creep. It's not going to be that kind of show.
You're bearing the lead here. I got it correct, yes?
Maybe you're right. The Mets with another series win behind a huge afternoon from Pete Alonso. That's a 5-2 road trip against division teams to start the season. No big deal. Yankees and Gerrit Cole drop one to a nine-fingered Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the Blue Jays 6-4. Vlad Jr., 4-for-4, three home runs and four RBIs. A young, thick Kako explodes in Philly for two goals. Rangers take care of business with a 4-0 win against the Flyers. Hawks and Pelicans keep their playoff hopes alive. Both advance to the final game of the NBA play-in tournament. Clayton Kershaw perfect through seven, and of course, what happens? Yes, that's right, he gets pulled. Another quarterback gets paid. Dave gets challenged by Don, and really, the entire K-show.
I think I will literally beat him at anything.
Wow, that's feisty. How do you respond to that?
Let's go. You want to go? Let's go. We'll go all the way.
All right, you're ready. We have two more Tully Time giveaways. We're going to see which genius Dave is dressed up like today. And as always, on Thursday at 6:45, we have an observations that did happen in Florida. But before we get to all of that, I'd like to say good morning to a man that is more than just some co-host appetizer. I just said you were the meal, baby. Yes, that is my big, fatty ribeye, my best friend and yours. We all love him, David Rothenberg.
Wow. All right, it's Rule 76. Wow. That was something. That had everything. That was good. You've really mastered this thing. You know that?
I just want to put a smile on your face.
It's good.
That's all I want to do.
It's well done. Listen, I could sit here and I could make fun of the fact that it goes long or, you know, maybe there's a little mix-up here or there. But, yeah, I mean, you do a nice job. It's a good job. It's a quality open.
I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. To me and Santiago, not just me. I'm not going to take credit for it. That's Santiago.
He's cutting. And we know the importance of Santiago because if you remember, the 1 week Santiago wasn't here, we had to do this. It was a train wreck.
Oh, all hell blew. I mean, we did it twice.
Right. It was so bad that it's like, you know what? Let's take this one from the top and do it all over again. That's how bad it was. So let's not think this is you solo. You're terrific at it. You might be the creator of it, but Santiago is right there with you. Right
I just said you were the meal, baby.
Yeah. Baby.
Couple things we've realized in doing the show together for as long as we've done the show together. When Santiago leaves, Thursday Open goes right down the toilet. He's necessary. He is
so
the
he
MVP.
Takes the Thursday Open with him. But wait a minute. What do you mean when he leaves? Where's he going?
No, when he's not. Like when if he's ever on whatever.
Oh, okay. So if he were to get vacation hypothetically and take a day.
Yes.
than you would, right?
Correct.
Okay, I think that's
correct.
Fair.
And then when RJ is gone at a wedding or wherever he's off to, taking just random vacations during important books,
right?
Clearly, polls and comment boxes, it's impossible without RJ.
Yes, these guys are really the important behind-the-scenes characters of the show. And we'd like them more in the scenes, but they want to stay behind the scenes. But yes, you're right.
Without they like those to play hard guys, to get now. They like to play hard to get now.
Without those two guys, the show is very, very different. Today, first of all, we're 2 weeks away. The draft is 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks. And I saw Mel Kiper all over the place yesterday. All over the place.
Yeah, he earned his money yesterday. He was everywhere yesterday.
Everywhere. But 2 weeks today.
I'll tell you what. 8:05-ish after the show was done.
Yeah.
I found myself smiling after going through Mel's mock. It's like, ah.
I told you.
That would be
you wouldn't
nice
even have
draft.
Full clothes on by the end of that mock draft.
Wow, how could I?
You can't.
You can't do that.
You can't. Absolutely not. So, you know, there are days that we pop on. And I don't want to say lie. But we might say something to the point of, you know, a lot going on today. And that might not be true. Right? There might be a decent amount, but not a lot. Today is one of those days. There's a lot going on. There's a lot. You have the Rangers. Great win. You have Kershaw taken out after seven innings. I think, and I don't know this to be true because we haven't discussed it yet. I think you and I are going to have differing opinions on this one. I think.
I'm counting on it.
Really? Because so you're going to be wrong here.
No, I'll be right.
No. No.
No, I'll be right.
If you have the opinion I think you're going to have, it's an awful take.
No, it's not an awful take.
Here's what I'd like. Do you think it's possible for you just to say and me to say our take right now, spend the next 12 seconds on it, not discuss it, and hold it for later just to see if we have the same take or not?
No.
Again,
no,
horrendous I take, Rick. You don't think you're capable of that?
No, I know I'm capable of it, but I mean, if we're going to have a good conversation about it, why would we waste it right now at 5:06?
Well, no, we wouldn't waste it. All I want is to find out where you fall on this. I'll say where I fall. I will move right on to the Mets and the Yankees. Mets, great win. Yankees, I'm sorry. That's a terrible loss.
Oh, again, you with the terrible losses.
That's a terrible loss.
Because it's a Gerrit Cole start?
Well, it's a Gerrit Cole start. I mean, it's a team you're competing for.
Well,
and you're not going to play Stanton in the game?
Yeah, that.
Are you kidding me?
But this is what they do now.
What game is this?
This is what they do now. You want to have this Clayton Kershaw conversation? This is what they do now. This is where we're at.
That was game six.
This is where we're at.
That was game six.
I know. I
get
it.
Against the team that everybody looks at as the team to beat in this division.
That cameraman did John Sterling dirty, too, by the way. Dirty.
Well, first of all, you're assuming that Sterling is watching it on video. He could just watch the actual play, no?
Well, I don't know. Listen, I don't know where he's sitting. I think it's maybe easier off the monitor, but it was gone. I thought Kay did an awesome job because it looked like it could be a home run.
Well, could be. I would have bet everything I have that was a home run.
I know. Which would have been an unbelievable moment, but nope. Sorry.
I actually started yelling at Alex.
It would be nice if the Yankees could. I mean, they've had one game so far this season where they've scored first. One.
Correct. They fell behind. And that's not just single runs, right? They've fallen behind by multiple runs in almost every game.
Yeah. I mean, the only game that they were ahead was the 4-0 win.
The shutout the other
night. That's it.
Yeah. By Nestor Cortez. Yeah. So Alex, in all his wisdom... And I've told him stop doing this. And why are you laughing?
No, I just like how you said it.
Well, I got a text from him yesterday, by the way. Kid's an animal. Text from him yesterday. Guess who's back? I said, what are you talking about? Baycott's back. We're back. So he's all excited. And then he comes home. First thing he says, he goes, I got to figure with Baycott, Caleb Love's going to come back. RJ Davis is going to come back. We might win the whole thing next year. I said, I told you, he's an addict, just like we are, right? Fine. So last night we're watching the game. Chapman gets the base hit, right field. Run scored, 6-3. You know what he says?
No, I don't know what he said.
That should do it, Dad. That should probably do
why?
It.
This game. Have you not?
So I said, what is the matter with you? I said, why would you say that? So then the Yankees get the home run from Torres, and then they're down by two, and then they get the runner on, and then Stanton comes to the plate, and he hits what everyone thinks is a home run. And as the ball is flying out of the park, I start chastising him. I said, and this is why you don't do that. And I'm yelling at him. It felt like we had a full conversation, and then it's caught. And he's like, see? I was like, sorry. And that was it. But I still stand by it. You can't say a game is ever over.
No, it was a good teaching lesson. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
I had a, and you know, it's another thing. And I think you'll appreciate this too. And I won't waste it here at 5:09. But later in the show, I had a great, I thought a great, and I think you will agree with me, great parental moment last night. Great parental moment.
That's a nice little tease. I can't wait to hear this one.
Yeah, maybe like 6:30.
You had a nice night then. I mean, that's 2-in-1 night.
I think the other one was better than this one.
Wow.
And I think the other one, troll Dave would have said, yeah, go ahead with this. But parental Dave, adult Dave, took a step back and said, you know what? It's unnecessary. Let's not do it. Be better. Yep.
This is guilt is what it is. I'll tell you right now. This is guilt. Yeah, this is guilt. You don't like how you handled the whole national championship thing. You feel bad about it. This is guilt. And then the whole
It wasn't even with the same kid.
No, I know, but it's just that stuff like that sticks with you. And then you couldn't bite your tongue about, you know, some things that happened during the game that you didn't like. You know, why are you not tagging? Like, why are you not at third base? You're standing on second. That didn't go over well.
No, it didn't go over well.
This is your bounce back moment.
Maybe. So I'll share that with you. Remind me of this because I don't remember much. So remind me of this.
I'll write it down right now.
I'll write it down on your pad of the day. 6:30 parental moment.
6:30 parental moment done.
Parental moment. There you go. Okay. So Mets. You know what's great about the Mets? I don't want to start with the Yankees because I think that was bigger. But Mets. What I loved so much about that game yesterday. First of all, Alonso was sensational. And what I love though is Scherzer wasn't even great. He wasn't great. I thought I struggled, walked the bases loaded first.
It's the beauty of him, though.
That's the point, is you got non-great Max Scherzer going up against one of the best offensive teams in baseball in a bandbox of a stadium, and he still figures out a way to go five innings and allow only one run.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, that's really, for me, what separates really good pitchers from aces. I mean, he walks three guys in the first inning, loads the bases, and then bears down and gets out of the inning not giving up anything.
Because he's a horse.
Exactly what he is. And you saw how fired up he was.
And he should have been.
But that kind of emotion, I mean, that feeds through the entire team. Like, that breeds confidence with the entire team. When you see a guy like Max Scherzer that locked in. This guy's a Hall of Famer. That locked in. He'll be 38 in July. And it still means this much to him. I mean,
he's a warrior.
You'd love to play behind that guy. Love it.
Love it. I am so into this Mets team. They're 5-2. Listen, let's be fair. Easily should have been 6-1. Could have been 7-0 on that road trip. You'll take the 5-2. You feel good about it. And what I love is, how many times in the past would you have lost a game like that to open the series, and now you lose 2 out of 3, or now you get swept, and all of a sudden this starts to tumble and crumble out of control? Not this Mets team. And I know it's early, but those are two big bounce back wins.
Huge bounce back. I mean, listen. And Schwarber did nothing in the series.
No.
Nothing. Didn't get a hit in the series. So, yeah, I mean, this is definitely a different team. And I want to give Francisco Lindor some credit. He struggled last year. I mean, and he said things were moving too fast. He had the stuff with the fans and everything else. But that big inning they probably should have had a much bigger lead before this moment. Like, they had plenty of chances to break the game wide open. But the 3-run homer, so you had the Marte RBI, and then Pete does the damage with the 3-run home run. That doesn't happen unless Lindor is busting it out of the box and breaks it and doesn't get doubled off. Like, he ends up being safe at first, so they don't turn the double play, and then that inning explodes into a 4-run inning. That was, like, it's little things like that that during the course of a game add up to a win.
It was great.
And by the way, have you noticed anyone wearing different belts? Have you noticed that?
No.
Answer to the question is no. No, because Buck has this thing under wraps.
I love when they show him. I love when they just show him and he just glares at whatever's happening. And you know what? I'm glad, and they probably did it on purpose, and that's fine. How many times are you going to hit this team?
Enough is enough. I mean, it's not, again.
Was it three more yesterday?
I was listening to some of the game on the radio, too, because I was running around with the kids. And they were saying, too, like, just expect more of this. Like, when you look at the history of the Mets and where and where some of these Mets stack up as far as most times being hit by pitches, like, they're already up, like, at the top of the list.
They've been hit, what, 10 times, 11 times in the season already?
It's a lot.
It's too much. And they finally answered back yesterday. So, Yankees, obviously, that's a tough loss. Not destructive, right? You're still fine.
Well, no, it's a bad loss, man.
It's a bad loss.
I mean, you had the big inning. You got Rizzo and Judge going back-to-back.
You know what would be so frustrating to me is that became a game of bullpens, which you love the Yankees in. And they couldn't get the win in a battle of bullpen. So you had what you thought was going to be a game-tying home run. Go ahead.
Well, no. I mean, I'm glad you did it the way you did it, though. I just got done talking about how Francisco Lindor is like the little plays. Okay, so, and you go to the inning. So they tie it up, and then you get to the inning. They walk Kirk, which you can't do. And then you get catcher's interference. And then you get Gleyber Torres can't turn a double play.
Yep.
And now Springer's up, and there you go. Now it's a 4-3 game.
You bring in maybe your best reliever. He gets the base hit. You never lead in that game again.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And you'll appreciate this. I don't know that everybody will. My Rees, which rarely show up before like 5:57 when I have
big
to start
news,
them at 6 o'clock.
Jazz hands.
They're here. They showed up today before the show.
Well, I mean, what you did was you challenged RJ, and because he's so good at what he does, he said, you know what?
That's right.
I'll answer the bell.
That's right. You know what? I challenged him, and a result is his greatness.
Which I'm going to say this, after we hear at 6:30 your parental moment, I mean, this is shaping up to just be a good week period for you.
I feel like I might be at the best I've ever been. Then all of a sudden I'm going to have Peacock all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, you've never been funnier. Never in your entire life.
You find if someone said to you, "What do you think about Rothenberg?" You'd say, "That's a funny guy."
Yes. And sometimes you're not even trying to be funny; you're just naturally funny now.
Okay, I got pythons.
Grocery shopping, different level.
Yeah, but you say that in mockery. You don't believe that I'm good in the grocery store.
After hearing the story about RJ, how he wilted under the pressure of not having the same like the yogurt that he likes.
Yep, that's right. If they don't have something I like, what do? I don't wind up in the cheese section. I move on. I stay true to my list, true to myself.
Which is a mental list, by the way. Which is a mental list, by the way, so people know.
That's right. Nothing written down. And it might even be when I go to the store, as I'm leaving, share anything you want to add to my mental list. And she might say, yeah, some bananas, loaf of bread, little jar of peanut butter. And I just put that right onto the mental Rolodex. Boom. Go to the store.
I get it.
See what I did? The verbal tip. That's right.
You're gifted. When it comes to shopping, you're gifted. That's fine. Yeah. And then now all of a sudden, I mean, maybe because you're dressed like Bill Belichick. Maybe. I don't know. But now all of a sudden, you know,
who am I today?
Button to push.
Who am I today? I'm wearing a simple gray T-shirt. Who am I today?
Richard Shisiskensky.
Look like Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, stop it.
Very low key. Just
stop it, Zuckerberg. It's Hot Take Johnny. You're forcing this now.
No, I'm not listening. I go with what I see. Today, nothing stands out yet. I'm going to see how the show goes.
And there you go. So just say that instead of Zuckerberg.
Well, no, you put me on the spot. I had to come up with another
name. You know what? I would respect that. You're not dressed like anyone. You're just wearing a simple ESPN gray t-shirt. Who the hell are you?
Which is exactly, when you chose your outfit for today, you said to yourself, I'm going to wear something that just, it gives him no ammunition at all.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
You really think that I gave any thought to what I was putting on?
I believe Sherry picked out your outfit. Just like
I promise you that is not the case. We were doing last night. What do I wear so I don't get mocked on the show? How about this simple t-shirt?
You laugh. So when Billy Smith was my goalie coach, I always tell you how like I was interested to know like what each goalie did to get, you know, like pregame, like how you got prepared for a game. And he told me his whole pregame ritual. His wife would lay out his clothes for him.
Like the stuff he would wear to the arena?
To the arena, because he wanted to eliminate any extra thinking. So he'd have the same thing every day.
And she'd lay his clothes out. Focused, huh?
Yeah, she'd lay his clothes out. Take his nap, wake up. Oh, what am I going to wear? Oh, thanks, hon.
Would she wake him from the nap, Billy?
I would imagine, yeah.
Billy, it's time.
Billy.
Like softly patting him on the head. Billy, William.
And then you couldn't talk to him at the rink. Like, God forbid, don't touch his gear. Don't talk to him. He'd sit there, eat his popcorn, and then boom. Game time.
All right. Well, worked out for him.
Oh, you better believe it did.
Right? Certainly worked out for him. All right. So, Yankees last night. Guerrero is amazing. He really is. The power of this guy. So, there's so many different angles to take this game from. He was great. Cole, again, not great. Stanton not playing. Losing to a team that you're competing with. I mean, now the importance of the game tonight with Severino on the mound. So how do you want to start attacking this one with the game from last night from the Yanks?
Well, I think the biggest story is probably Gerrit Cole, right? And we all know. I mean, you saw what Vlad Guerrero Jr. did last year. I mean, I would make the point that our producer, Raymond Santiago, although doesn't sleep and is a warrior, is just soft.
How could you make that statement?
Well, I mean, did you read his text last night?
Because he wanted him out of the game.
Get him out of the game. This seems unnecessary.
How could you possibly keep a man like that in the game? So it's funny. I wasn't home, right? Both boys were out. Ben was at the game last night. Alex was at the movies with friends. So Sherry says, we have time to ourselves. You know what the time to ourselves now incorporates?
I'm hoping sexy time, but I don't think that's where we're going.
Yeah, we looked for fridges. We went to Home Depot and looked at some fridges.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was very
that seems romantic.
Ice makers. Now they have these new fridges.
Ooh.
Where they have like drink shells where you can kind of open part of the fridge and go only to the drinks, or you can open the entire fridge and go way back into the belly of the fridge.
I bet you bought an expensive fridge, though.
We didn't buy anything.
I got to go in and see if the other refrigerator in the garage is closed.
We didn't buy anything. We looked, because apparently this is like a 17-step process.
You guys should have hooked up in the car, like young kids in the parking
hooked
lot.
We'll see naked ladies. I like that naked ladies job. My gym is beautiful. So then on the way back, Sherry's like, you know, we still have time. You want to stop and get dinner? I was like, I'll show you. You want to see it? So we went for sushi, and it was lovely. Point being, I wasn't watching the game live, and I get this guy like, how could you possibly leave Guerrero in the game? And I'm thinking, oh no. What's happened to Guerrero? And then, I mean, he had a finger stepped on. He was fine.
Listen,
you're right.
They all pulled him into the dugout. They surrounded him like they thought he was going to lose the finger. I was thinking.
Well, you act like he's Chubbs Peterson. Like, damn alligator took my hand. He got a cut on his finger.
My fingers hurt.
Clearly, it gave him superpowers.
No, I'll tell you. I mean, I think I'm the perfect barometer because I didn't know what was happening. And with the text chain, I was sure that something horrendous had happened. And then to find out it was a stepped on finger by a cleat and a bloody finger that it was not that big a deal. You turned this into a bigger deal than it was.
And probably maybe I just wanted him out of the game.
See, that's what it was.
That's understandable. I would have wanted him out of the game too.
And look, that was before he had hit the second and third home run.
Well, that's part of it. You know, that's part of it. Cause that hurts like hell. Like getting stepped on like that with a metal spike, that hurts a lot, but he already hit one. He's like, I haven't done much this series. Feeling good. I already have one home run. Let's put a Band-Aid on this thing and let's get back out there.
And he did.
Oh, he did.
Oh, he certainly did. He certainly did.
Like, literally, they were all in the dugout surrounding him and looking at, and the umpire even comes over. Is like, okay, guys, what are you going to do? Are you playing ball or not? And he runs out of the dugout, like, dramatically. It was the whole thing. So that's why I thought, oh, he's not going to play. He's done.
Please. How dare you challenge Vlad Guerrero?
He's got some bottom half on him, doesn't he, boy?
Ooh. And he's lost a lot of weight, that guy.
I know, but the shelf is just... I mean, his bottom half is crazy.
So what was he, 4-for-4 and then made the game-winning play on defense last night,
yep,
too,
4-for-4, four RBIs.
Yep.
Three home runs.
Game. My goodness.
Yeah, that's some game by him. I mean, they know. Why do you think they were surrounding him? They know they want to win. He's their guy. I mean, he's one of the best in baseball, man. He really is. I give him credit,
too.
Like
22, 23?
Yeah, and they were showing some – they were showing his – his numbers up against his, who's a Hall of Famer, his dad's numbers, and how his dad better average, but still, like, how similar they are. I mean, those are big shoes to fill.
Isn't it worthy of saying, unless something happens really surprisingly, this guy's going to hit 500 home runs.
He's a beast. He's only 23 years old.
He's 23 years old. What does he have? He's got to be approaching 100 home runs, right?
For his career, he has 76 home runs.
All right, so he's going to go over 100 at the age of 23 years old?
Yeah, he's a beast.
That is wild. Here is Gerrit Cole, who was not good again last night.
Well, no, don't say not good.
Stop it.
No,
don't say not good. He was not good.
It's not what you expect from him.
So, okay, then answer this. I say he was not good. The other side of that would be he was good. So Gerrit Cole was good last night?
He was all right. I wouldn't say he was bad. He was all right. But I have higher. I mean, I think every Yankees fan, when you're getting paid over $1 million a start, and there's some questions about your rotation, they have higher expectations for him.
He's the prohibitive favorite to win the Cy Young in the American League.
Yes.
Prohibitive favorite. That he goes 5 2/3, 3 runs, all earned. His ERA is sitting here at 5.59. I know it's 2 starts. I'm sorry, that was not good.
No, it's not. It's not even that. It's that. I mean, it's like you brought up earlier in the show with Scherzer. Like, Scherzer didn't have his best stuff, clearly. I mean, 3 walks in the first inning, loads the bases, but he finds a way to get out of it, not giving up anything, and gives his team a chance to score some runs. And then before you know it, I mean, it's another win for the Mets. This is one of those games going up against a team that clearly doesn't fear you anymore. It's you versus Barrios. You weren't great in your first start. And now, you know, you have a real opportunity to say, you know what? Yeah, we're still the Yankees. I'm Gerrit Cole. And he didn't take advantage of it.
Go out there and give me 6 innings of 1-run ball and be the stud and the ace that everybody says that you are. And he didn't.
Yeah, well, he really hasn't. When you go back to the end of last season, and then I know he was dealing with the hamstring and everything else, but at the end of last season and then the wild card game and then the first couple starts of this season, I think there's some questions.
And I think there should be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Apparently the K-Show is nasty again to me. I'm sure you won't say anything about that because that's the kind of guy you are.
Won't what do you mean? I brought it up. Well, stop it. I brought it up in the open. And how many times did I have to ask, like, Santiago, like, please tell me, I wasn't listening, tell me what they challenged Dave to, and nothing.
Loved it. In the group text yesterday, I didn't hear it either. So he's like, oh, taking big shots at Dave. Like, oh, what happened? I can't believe that happened. What happened? They did it. They did what? It. What? I'm not listening.
And that's the problem. Rick is Mr. Dedicated to the K-Show. I'm surprised he wasn't texting Michael while all that was going on. And it turns out that Rick had other priorities. It's okay.
How many times of him telling you, us as a group, maybe Scopin as well, I don't know who was included in this group chat. All right. How many times of him telling us that he wasn't listening until you were like, oh, Rick wasn't listening? Like, he's like, I didn't hear what was said. And then you start with, well, you always listen. I'm sure you heard. I'm not listening what was said. It, what? He said that. He said what? Like, I felt like I was in a routine.
I think he asked once or twice. I think you exaggerated a bit.
It was no way it was once.
I found myself getting frustrated texting you. I was getting aggravated. I'm like, he's messing with me.
Because once wouldn't be a thing. If he asked once and you answered it, that wouldn't be a thing. It was multiple times that he's like, what happened? Well, it happened. Well, what happened? Well, Don said he said it. He said what?
I don't think that I said that either.
I don't know. That's what it felt like. That's exactly what it felt like.
Well, maybe if you were listening, you know, maybe you would have not had to have been told.
I feel bad, too. I sent the nasty text message to Winthrop in the group text, too.
In that one?
Yeah, no, in the other one where he's talking about the having the turkey on his front porch.
No, that was in yeah.
Oh, whatever. Does anybody
care? I think it was the same chain.
That was nasty. I feel bad. Once I sent it, I was like, ugh.
You don't feel bad.
I did that one. I felt like that might have been too much.
I didn't know you had a conscience.
He took it in stride, though.
Well, not Mickey really John gets upset by much. You know, Mickey style. All right, can we hear from Vlad? I wanted to play Vlad before you. I mean, Garrett Cole before you jumped on it. Now I'd like to play it now. You talk about the group text. Now, great. Now, have I lost you now? I see you. You're knee deep in your phone.
No, I'm trying to find.
Can you
I'm
pay attention
to
me, please? We're gonna have another San Francisco Giants
what
situation
were you
on
doing?
Our hands.
I was reading about the San Francisco Giants.
That's what's gonna happen. Can you hear? Focus here. You should see me still.
No, I'm here.
Right here.
I'm trying to listen to Vlad Jr. is what I'm trying to do.
All right, here is. See, it's Garrett Cole. It's not Vlad Jr.
But you tease Vlad.
And I tease Cole.
For example, you trade for Anthony Davis when you already have LeBron in place.
It's terrible.
I don't know.
I wasn't even listening.
I don't know what to say. Put me in such a bad spot there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wasn't. And you go, yeah, I wasn't even listening.
I could tell you some stuff about the San Francisco Giants, though.
Yeah, that's right. Logan Webb, he's good. All right. You know, did you know that Mike Yastrzemski is Carly Yastrzemski's his grandson? You get into that. But what he called
I got
about,
into that.
You have no idea. All right. Can we hear from Garrett Cole, please?
I have a big one.
And
I
then
think
get
we
to
have
the Yankees
to.
Calls, please.
Yes, yes, I think we have to. Yes.
Okay. Here is Garrett Cole on his struggles against the great Vlad Jr.
Well, he's really good. I mean, he was just so quick to that pitch, and then he did it again later against Lowe. He had a good night.
He hit your spot with that pitch?
Yeah.
So he hit his spot, and he still hit it out, huh?
What are we doing? What are we doing? I don't understand this.
What's the matter?
I got to tip my cap to Vlad. What are you doing? No. Don't tip your cap to Vlad Guerrero. I mean, watch
For
him.
For Pete's sake.
Stop it.
Well, we didn't even play that one. Let's play
no,
that one. Here
I mean,
he is
did you
the,
see the night?
Tipping.
I mean, if you had a cap, you'd tip it too. I mean, it got better after that too. My goodness.
So you don't like that, huh?
No. No, you watch him styling around the bases? No. It's not what we're doing now.
That's new
For
age
Pete's sake.
Baseball. Tip the cap.
This Toronto team has dominated you at Yankee Stadium. Dominated you over the last couple of years. And we're tipping caps now? Oh, it only got better.
Cap.
Yeah, great. Stop. And that's it. That's gross.
You really feel away about that?
Well,
huh?
No. Between the like, hey, the opening ceremonies got away from the game started 4 minutes later than it was supposed
that's
to.
Unbelievable. He's precious, isn't he?
It's too much. It's just too much now, man. No one wants to hear that garbage.
If I would have said to you, you know, the game was,
you think
started-
Max Scherzer says something like that? Oh yeah, tip your cap. No.
No. No, I think Max, he might not be better now. I think Max Scherzer has been a better pitcher than Garrett Cole.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's the whole, like.
Yeah, a bulldog mentality.
Tip my cap. You just got better. Yeah, great. No, I don't want to hear that from you.
No, well, This is what you get. All right, let's get to the Yankees calls. Then we'll get into Stanton not playing, which I have a major problem with. I know you're going to defend it. This is what they do. But if your defense can
I'm not going to defend that. No, I'm just telling you, this is what they do. I'm not going to defend it, no.
Right, but the only defense you have of, well, this is what they do. Well, it's ridiculous what they do.
Well, no, but this is part of the problem with the Yankees, though. This is part of the problem. It feels like you're watching the same team you watched last year dealing with the same problems. Right, I mean, there's a lack of athleticism. The fact is that I have my best lineup, but I can't always play my best lineup because I'm trying to keep people like, I can't play Stanton as much as I want because I know I have to try to keep him healthy.
Right, but my point is, if I don't see Stanton in all three games against Baltimore this weekend, I can live with that. You should
exactly.
You can beat the Orioles anyway. You should beat them anyway. You're way better than them. Fine. You look at the upcoming schedule, it's like it's Baltimore, it's Detroit, it's Kansas City, it's Baltimore again. It is not daunting. Give him all the time he wants off at that point. Now, against this team, I'm sorry. I don't understand how you bench Stanton.
Because they don't take any of that stuff into account. There's no such thing as hot and cold. Like this is, they have a plan and they're going to stick with the plan.
It was the sixth game of the season.
You don't have to tell me. I agree with you.
Oh, it is awful. All right, let's get to some of the calls. Mike in Staten Island. Mike, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. You just hit the nail on the head, not being able to put out their best lineup. I think a big problem with that is Gleyber Torres. And I know you guys talked about it yesterday. He has no trade value, but he's a liability out there. That double play that he couldn't turn could have cost him the game. When you got DJ LeMay, who is a gold glover, at second base. Now you're playing guys who aren't in their natural position on the days that they want to rest people. And they're always doing this, resting their best stars in sixth game of the season. They do it all the time. I just don't know, what do you guys think they could do with Gleyber? There's been a big enough sample size to show he's not the player who hit 39 home runs.
Well, they're going to give it one last shot here with him playing second base. They feel like he was overwhelmed playing short because he struggled defensively and that affected his offense. So now they give him a chance at second. And, you know, hopefully he has a good season and they can actually get something for him. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I mean, that was a huge play in that game. Huge play. And that was a tailor-made.
That was an easy play, too.
Tailor-made double play. Tailor-made to get yourself out of that inning.
I mean, that I don't want to say cost them the game, but that was a big play that went against them for no reason. That's an easy play. I mean,
that's a routine play.
You have to make that play.
That's a routine play.
And you're right. You talked about that inning. So you have the catcher's interference, which goes down in an error. Now, the play by Torres goes down as nothing because you can't assume the double play, so it's not even an error.
Which is
awful.
Yeah.
It's just a terrible play by him.
Yeah. I mean, and I think you said it perfectly. I mean, in a game like that, you find your way back, right? It's 3-0. You tie it up with the back-to-back home runs. Then you get the Donaldson double. You end up tying that game up, and now it becomes a game of bullpens, and you like your chances.
You love your chances against anybody when it comes to a game of the pen. Here is Aaron Boone on Torres' double play mishap.
Taylor made double play there and just a little double clutch on the exchange and one of those things that happens, and obviously we couldn't get out of the inning at that spot.
What was that? That was cut very poorly.
That's a huge spot, though. That's a huge spot. It really is.
That's a game-changing play.
Yes.
Or lack of play in that moment.
You're absolutely right. And by the way, it was the eighth inning where Stanton flew out to the warning track.
The eighth inning?
It wasn't the ninth. It was the eighth.
Yeah, you're right. That's right.
The ninth was when you had Rizzo had the bunt that he didn't even realize where it went. But
that was wild.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't. I know Yankees fans are frustrated, right? Because, I mean, there's Freddie Freeman, trade for Matt Olson, and then you end up with Rizzo. But, I mean, Rizzo's a really good player, but that's a smart play though by him.
Well, you need a base runner, and he's doing whatever. Now, let's say 3-1 pitch. You don't love that because he might have had ball four, but whatever. He gets the bunt down in some semblance. It's fair.
I got Judge behind me.
Right.
The other problem with this team right now is the bottom of the lineup. Like Higashioka's a weapon behind the plate. His pitch framing is top notch, but he hasn't hit.
Well,
and Kiner Falefa has not hit.
Kiner Falefa, Gallo, Higashioka, Aaron Hicks. There's four guys in this lineup that, and I know Gallo's going to just walk into some home runs because that's just what he does, but there's a lot of weak spots in this lineup.
And it's more of the same, though, man. Like, it's just, it lacks athleticism. Like, one of the things I really like about what the Mets did, I mean, the addition of Marte, and you saw it the other day, he steals second, and then you get that Lindor drives him in, which was a big insurance run in that game. Like to have that in your arsenal is nice.
The Yankees don't prioritize stealing bases. That's unimportant to them.
Well, just be athletic, man. Like, just have some athleticism.
Well, they're not. And I don't think that's important to them.
I mean, Connor Falefa can steal bases, but he's never wrong. He doesn't get hits.
Right. You have to be on base to steal bases.
But it feels like more of what we saw last year.
It feels like we are living 2021 here in 2022, is what it feels like.
Yep.
And you know what'll happen? You'll go 13-4 in your next 17 games.
Okay, but here's the point, though, because you're right. And they'll probably find their way into the playoffs. But that's, again, you saw that it wasn't enough last year. So what makes you think it's going to be enough now this year?
Nothing does. I detest the Yankees. And I'm typically really on edge once we get to the postseason. Because they're in, and when they're good, it's terrifying. But now it's like, all right, they'll get in. And then the expectation for me as someone that doesn't like them is they're not going to wind up winning much. So it's fine.
No, especially if Gerrit Cole isn't dominant.
And he has not been dominant. And he's not been dominant in a while now. And I know that you'll hear it's early on in the season and it's premature to get nervous. But let's be fair. He wasn't great down the stretch of last year. He was bad in the playoff game. And he has not been good so far this season.
Yes, and you can make all the excuses you want. I mean, and I think that a shortened spring training is part of it. But when you start looking at what he did at the end of last season, couple that with the wild card game, and now what you've seen the first two starts, it's
you have to be a little concerned.
Oh, it's not a small sample size now.
No, it's not. You've seen it now, and again, next start out is going to be against Detroit.
So yeah, this is one. There's no excuse. But that's the other thing that frustrated me listening to him after the game. It's just like the whole tip the cap thing, it aggravated me. Because, again, this is the team, like, you want to get to where you want to go. Like, this is probably going to be the team you're going to have to go through, right? So that aggravated me. You should be pissed. And then on top of that, it's just like there's been so many different excuses. I'm done with that. They're paying you. You're getting paid $36 million, and I hate to bring up money, but that's more than $1 million a start on a team that doesn't have much depth after you. Like, there's question marks after you. You have to be the guy that every time we give you the ball, every fifth day, we know that we're going to have a great chance to win.
What year is this of the deal? Year three?
This is year, year three.
And this is what, nine?
It's a 9-year deal, yeah. Yes.
How do you think that's going to look year seven?
Well, that's the thing, though. We talked about the whole Aaron Judge thing. Like, you couldn't wait to give him a 9. You can't wait to give Gerrit Cole a 9-year deal. That's probably not going to look great at the end of it for $36 million a year.
Well, let me ask you this honestly, and I still think he's a very good pitcher. Does it look great now?
Does it look great now?
Does it look great? You said it's not going to look great at the end of it. Does it look great now? In the beginning of it?
In the moment? I mean, yeah. No, listen, I think he's been fine. I think he's been good.
I think he's been fine. I'm just saying, like, right now, you say he's not going to look great year seven, year eight. Does it look great in year three? As we sit here right now, this guy's making $1 million plus every single start. It doesn't look great.
I think there's probably some concern right now, especially after what you saw, and especially with what you saw from him after they got rid of the spider tack.
Yes, he's a different pitcher.
Yeah, and I mean, he had some moments where he figured it out, but still, I mean, there was a lack of consistency. Like, there's something to be said about, you know, having all this untapped potential when you're in Pittsburgh, but to go from where he was at in Pittsburgh to where he ended up in Houston, that was a big, I mean, that's a big jump.
Well, he went from being a guy that could be to a guy that was, I mean, unbelievable.
Exactly right.
Different level,
and then all of a sudden, you know, halfway through the season, they take away spider tack, and he looks like, he's a good pitcher, but he's not. It's not
right.
The same.
He's good. There's no doubt he's good. But you didn't pay for good, and you don't expect good. You expect. I mean, again, he is the huge favorite to win the Cy Young in the American League. Huge favorite. Do you feel like you have that right now?
No.
Okay. And there you have it. Let's continue with the calls. Alex on the Turnpike. Alex, good morning. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's going on, Alex? Hello? Yeah, we're here.
I just want to talk. You guys were just talking about the Gerrit Cole thing. You know, you pay this man a ridiculous amount of money. Every time he takes the mound, we should be getting at least 7 innings, 1 run ball.
Well, I don't know about that.
You can't say every time.
Not every time.
You can't say every single time. But you know what? I would like it at some point.
Yeah. I mean, and that has to be the expectation. I mean, that's – and we talk about this all the time with DeGrom and why everyone was so happy to get Scherzer and even now Bassett. Because, I mean, now you have the opportunity in days when those guys pitch is, okay, you know, I can rest some of the guys in my bullpen, right, because I feel like they're probably going to give me seven. So that's an added advantage. And it's also, I mean, it's just knowing that, like, if you're in, you know, I got a two-game losing streak going, oh, who has the ball? Oh, that's Gerrit Cole. That's Jacob DeGrom. Okay. All right, I like our chances.
Now, listen, DeGrom oft hurt, and that's obviously a concern. Can we stop with the Gerrit Cole as Jacob DeGrom, please?
Well, since the whole spider tack thing, he's not at that level.
Please, can we stop with that? Roger in the Bronx. Roger, you're next up on 98.7, buddy.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Roger?
What I got to say is last year I called you guys around the beginning of May talking about that I'm done with the Yankees. I started boycotting them. And boy, am I glad I did. They're still the same team. It's the same situation as last year. The same excuses. I've had enough. You guys take care. I'm going to enjoy my summer too. All Yankees fans out there, enjoy your summer. Don't even bother.
Roger, you are the worst fan walking the planet. You really are.
Don't be mean to Roger.
No, I think Roger
apologize,
might be
Roger.
A great friend, a good parent if he has children, all those things. But, I mean, you this is a 90-win team, and you can't be bothered with that? Come on.
No. Since when has the expectation been to win 90 games? Real Yankees fans want championships. We don't want 90 games.
I think every fan
right?
wants a championship. So, but don't say Yankees fan. You're not a Yankees fan, Roger.
Oh, I'm a diehard. You have
no stop. Really stop.
Well, because you know what's happening here, Dave. This is all Roger. Great call. I appreciate you calling. I apologize. This is lip service. He's frustrated. He's going to watch. He said he could have last year.
He doesn't watch. I take a man for his word.
Don't call him a fraud.
He doesn't watch.
No, he said don't let it frustrate you. Don't let it ruin your summer. Just like the whole as a Knicks fan, I'm checked out emotionally. So don't get at Roger because he's checked out emotionally.
No, I believe he said he doesn't watch.
No, he's watching.
Ray, did he not say, I don't watch?
Turns around and says that he's a diehard. It kind of, you know, contradictory there.
He said he
there.
Called last year and said he was done watching, and right. yet we're sitting here talking, and he's watched every game so far this season.
Well,
I don't know.
He says
lying.
He doesn't watch. I take the man at his word.
No, he's watching.
So if you tell me he's just upset with what's taking place and frustrated, and he's watching every second, well, that's one thing. But to sit here and say, I told you I wasn't going to watch last year, and I don't watch... Then you're a fraud.
Well, because you want to believe that you don't have a problem. Like, I can quit when I want to quit. Like, I don't need to watch this team. It pisses me off. And then all of a sudden, you know, Mets are playing at one. And you're like, oh, Mets are playing at one. Nothing on that. I got to watch the Mets. Mets are on.
By the way, day baseball.
It's the best thing ever.
Oh my God.
I love it.
It must feel the way that when Mel Kiper gets, like, a delivery of whipped cream. That's what day baseball is for me. It is just gorgeous.
There's nothing like it. Nice day out. Oh, it's the best.
Beautiful
the
day outside. Best. Game at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that game was long, though. Very
long.
It's
easier to deal with it when it's a win, though.
Yes. And we're not really focused on the bullpen issues currently.
Right. Well, you know what? You have an 8-1 lead, and you're hanging on for dear life.
It's the beauty of a win, man.
That's right. It makes everything else look much better. Let's continue. Let's go to Malik and Elizabeth. Malik, good morning. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing great, Malik.
Doing the show. You know, listening to you guys going to work in the morning, and sometimes you guys have me in stitches. I'm a lifelong Long Lake Yankee fan. I understand what Roger was saying, but I do watch the Yankees. I'm frustrated with them, but, sometimes I'm emotionally checked out. But I've been watching them this season. To tell you the truth, I'm just not happy with what's going on. I think, personally, we ought to be 6-0 instead of 3-3. You know, that's
six,
my
plan. 6-0? You could argue you should be 1-5 right now.
I said that's my fandom. I think we ought to be 6-0. I didn't say it was, I didn't say it was a reality. I just said because I'm such a fan, I think we ought to be 6-0. I'm glad that we're 3-3, but I have something to say about my man, the pitcher that pitched last night.
Garrett Cole.
Cole. I think he's overrated. I really do. I think he's overrated. I think he gets paid too much money. And I think we're going to continue to see more of the same with him. I don't think you will.
Thanks for the call, Malik. And I don't think you will because the schedule gets easier. Right? His next start is going to be against who? Against Detroit? He'll be better than that. But when you needed him, I mean, game one against Boston, last night against Toronto, when he faces the better teams, he doesn't look like the same pitcher.
Yeah, but again, I mean, it's not games versus Detroit in April that you're worried about.
No, and that's not what you paid him that kind of money for either.
No, I think that's part of the frustration though with Yankees fans is that the Yankees fans want to at the very least get back to a World Series, and then when you look at this team, how it's constructed, what you've seen so far this season, you're saying to yourself, it's essentially the same team we had last year. And that clearly wasn't good enough.
No. And I don't think there's any reason to look at this Yankees team the way they're currently constituted and think they're going to win a World Series. I think if you believe that, you are sorely mistaken.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.